Welcome to Blitzcast number 38. I'm your host, Alex Kaftoff. I'm going to bring in my co-host and partner, Ed Hunt, very shortly. A lot of news going on. I mean, we're going to talk about Urban Meyer at the top of the show. We're going to talk about the Heisman Trophy race that has basically been, it's a three-man race right now between the quarterback from Alabama, quarterback from Oklahoma, and the quarterback from Ohio State. We're going to talk about the college football playoff. The top four teams are set in stone, and we're waiting for those games to be played out at the end of December. We'll talk about the Alabama-Georgia SEC championship game because it was a thrilling game. We'll take you back to that. Then we'll also talk about our list of top underclassmen that have entered the 2019 NFL draft and what we think about it. We'll also break down a couple of more prospects, and we do this every week. We'll talk about Damian Harris, the running back from Alabama, and the defensive tackle from Christian Wilkins from Clemson. Ed, I'm going to bring you in. Let's start with Urban Meyer. Obviously, he said that he's walking away from the game. He's retiring. Ohio State, he's no longer going to be coaching Ohio State. The Rose Bowl game against Washington is officially going to be his last game. Just what do you think about that? The impact on Ohio State? Do you think he's just walking away for a couple of years and then Urban Meyer will once again resurface somewhere else? Just tell us about it. What do you think about the situation?
Well, first, I just want to say I can't blame Urban Meyer. I mean, the reports are that the doctors are worried about him, and you know, your health comes first. And you know, he's already made a legacy for himself, and I'm sure he wants to keep coaching. And but I think it's the right time to hang it up. As for Ohio State, this is obviously a blow to Ohio State. You know, just in the fact that, you know, you go from a celebrity coach to kind of a guy who's never had a head coaching job or a major head coaching job. You know, he's the offensive coordinator. He's kind of been promoted. I think he'll know something about how Ohio State recruits and how Ohio State goes. And I'm sure he's learned some things from Urban Meyer. But, you know, he's a younger guy and he's going to be taking over a major program.
Well, he certainly won three games at the start of this season when Urban Meyer was suspended. So he did go 3-0, but there was no pressure on him. He wasn't the head man. I mean, he was the interim head coach. I'll tell you, I mean, Day has been around. He's been at Boston College. He was the offensive coordinator there. He was the quarterback's coach with the 49ers, with the Eagles. Obviously, he's been the offensive coordinator for Ohio State. I like the way he's developed quarterbacks. I mean, he really did a great job with JT Barrett. He's done a great job with Dwayne Haskins. And in terms of being an offensive coordinator and a quarterback guru, he certainly has that down. He really has mastered that job. But when you take over for a legend, I mean, it's something different, especially when you've never been a head coach on any level. So from a recruiting standpoint, I think he's going to be fine because this is what he does. I mean, he's on the recruiting trail, but they have missed out on a couple of recruits already from the 2020 class. A couple of them have decommitted and opened up their recruiting services out there. So, it says something about that. I mean, players are gonna understand that Urban Meyer is no longer there, so I think a few of them might choose different schools. But I mean, Ohio State, they can't go outside of their program out there. Ryan Day is a hot name right now, and if he didn't get the head coaching job at Ohio State, he would have been a head coach elsewhere. So I think it's a good hire, but Urban Meyer is definitely going to be missed. I mean, he is a guy that won big games. He won against Michigan. He won when he was at Florida. He recruits at Ohio State like it's an SEC school. They put out great talent every year into the NFL. So it's a huge loss. I mean, I don't think Day will ever be able to live up to the legacy of Urban Meyer. And I wish him well, but it's tough, you know, walking into those shoes.
There's no doubt that this is a loss in the short term, but you know, Ryan Day is a young guy. You know, there's been a lot of promise about him. This was a guy who, you know, was supposed to take over. You know, he could have taken over a team like Louisville, or you know, he would have got a head, as you said, would have got a head coaching job somewhere else. He's a young guy. He's been successful. So, I mean, he could write his own story, and he's got a great program to do it with. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of Big Ten teams that are going to be competing for that throne as the Big Ten champion. But I like my prospects for Ryan Day.
Well, we certainly wish him well, and we wish Urban Meyer, to take care of his health. I mean, don't rush into coaching again. When he took over at Ohio State, there were already whispers that he was risking his health back then. And obviously, you know, he needs to step away, take care of his health, and be with his family. I know it's tough to walk away from being a college football coach at a big program, but look, health is the most important thing that we have. So, he's got to take care of that. Heisman Trophy, Ed. Obviously, it's down to three quarterbacks for right now. We all know who they are. Who is your winner, Ed? If you have to put your guy out here and say who's going to be the winner of the Heisman Trophy, who is the guy?
Well, because the SEC championship isn't the whole season, I'm going to say Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, he's had an unbelievable season. He's dominated the SEC. You know, he's had an unbelievable year passing. You know, he very much, you know, barely played in fourth quarters this season because he was just already dominating so many teams. So, you could say, I mean, it's between him and Kyler Murray. Definitely, but I still give the edge to Tua.
Well, Dwayne Haskins is definitely at number three. To me, it's a two-man race, and I'm going to go with Kyler Murray. And look, when Baker Mayfield won the Heisman Trophy last year, and he left for the NFL, I thought Oklahoma was going to take a little bit of a step back in the quarterback at the quarterback position. But what Kyler Murray has done, I mean, has been unbelievable. And I would ask him to think about his decision in terms of pursuing baseball, because I think he's got a future playing football in the National Football League. And I think a lot of people believe that. And I'm one of those people that thinks that Kyler Murray has a future there. Look, he has completed almost 71% of the passes, over 4,000 passing yards. He's thrown for 40 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. He was a big-time recruit coming out of high school. He didn't get a chance to showcase that at Texas A&M. He transferred to Oklahoma, and he's been great there as a junior. And I just feel like I always feel this, that we saw what Jalen Hurts was able to do in the SEC championship game against Georgia. He was inserted. Alabama still won. He gave them that spark. And that's how I feel. I mean, with all due respect, I think you can insert a good quarterback and Alabama is still going to win because of their defense, because of their running game. Here's how I feel about Oklahoma, even though, again, Baker Mayfield won the Heisman last year, but I feel Kyler Murray was just as big of a part. He was a big part of what Oklahoma did this year on offense. And if you take him away, I think they'll lose a couple of games. I just think that he meant and played a bigger part for the Sooners. And if you take him away, I think the Sooners wouldn't be here in the, you know, four-team college football playoffs. So that's why I think Kyler Murray is more valuable at Oklahoma, and that's why I'm giving him the Heisman Trophy. He would be my winner for the Heisman Trophy.
Well, I mean, I would say that Kyler Murray has the momentum right now, but I mean, when you take them against each other, you know, in the first round of the playoffs, you have to take Alabama, and so I think it would look weird if they gave it to Kyler Murray. He goes out, gets beat by Alabama, you know, gets beat by Alabama by, you know, a touchdown or two, and he just got the Heisman Trophy, I think it would look like the wrong decision.
Well, Baker also lost in the semifinal game last year to Georgia. I mean, he got the Heisman Trophy. He deserved it. They went out, played against a really good Georgia team, and lost in a tough, hard-fought game. So it was the same thing last year. Baker lost. Same thing might happen this year. I realize that Alabama is the better team, and they will be the favorite against almost everyone except maybe Clemson. I mean, Clemson, Alabama would still be the favorite against Clemson, but it would be really close. Against Oklahoma, they'll definitely be the favorite. But this is an individual award. This is like an MVP award that you give out in college football. So I say that Kyler Murray is more valuable, even though he is going to lose to Alabama in that semifinal game. But I'd still give him the award. All right, let's talk about the college football playoff. Top four teams are set, Ed. Obviously, we mentioned Alabama against Oklahoma, Clemson against Notre Dame. It's going to be a couple of exciting semifinal games. Does Notre Dame and Oklahoma have a shot?
No.
It's not easy, huh? No.
I just think Clemson's too talented on the defensive side of the ball, and Alabama's just – this is the best Alabama team we've ever seen. So, and I still stand by that, and I still think this Georgia game will be the toughest game they'll play all year.
What did you think about the Georgia-Alabama game? We mentioned that at the top of the show last week. We talked about it. You said that the game is not going to be close, that Alabama was going to roll by Georgia. I wanted to call the upset Georgia over Alabama. I chose not to do it on the show. It looked good, though. I mean, during the first half, it looked like Georgia was going to go for that upset. And then Jalen Hurts leads a comeback off the bench, something that we saw in last year's championship game. Alabama has Georgia's number. I mean, Georgia is always prepared. They always know what to do. Jake Fromm had a good game, and the offense was putting up points in the first half. And once again, Bulldogs fall short in the SEC championship game.
Yeah, I mean, you have to kind of say to Kirby Smart, I mean, he's done a great job at Georgia. He's making them one of the elite programs, but he can't win the big game. He can't win the close game when it counts against Alabama, and that could put a scar on his record.
What'd you think about that fake punt, Ed? At the end of the game, it was tied, and Georgia went for the bold move on the fourth down conversion. The fake punt was certainly a gutsy decision. Kirby Smart went for it all and wasn't able to convert. Alabama marches down and wins the game. What'd you think about that call at the end of the game?
You know, I always prefer too aggressive over too conservative. I think when you have the ball, I think you have an advantage over your opponent. And so you have to take advantage of having the ball. So I defend the call, even though it didn't go right.
Yeah, I'm also always for the aggressive head coach going for it, because so many head coaches prefer to punt, play it safe. I mean, you want to win the game, and Kirby Smart felt like this was the time. Alabama had the advantage. They had the momentum. Georgia had to do something. If they converted, you know, the Bulldogs probably marched down and won the game, but it just didn't happen. Alabama took care of business once again in the second half. And look, I'm ready to say that Nick Saban is the greatest college football coach of all time, even though I've seen some great ones, but the man just keeps on winning. By the way, is Saban going to give it another shot in the NFL, or do you think he's intent on staying in college and at Alabama?
You know, he's just built up too much of a legacy, and he's just making too much money to leave Alabama. I'm sure he wants a new challenge, but, you know, when he was in the NFL, he wasn't a bad coach, but, he just didn't have the sort of legendary success that he's been having at Alabama.
It's tough. He's made a legacy for himself in college football, especially at Alabama. He's had success in college football before with Michigan State and LSU, and I think our younger listeners probably don't even remember him coaching at those two stops, but he's been a great, great head football coach, and yeah, I think it would be a bad decision for him to go back to the NFL and try that again. All right, underclassmen, the list just keeps on growing by the day, by the minute. More and more guys are putting their names into the 2019 NFL draft, and Ed and I decided to talk about some of the more heralded prospects out there that project to be high draft picks, first or day two picks. So, Ed, let's go through the list.
Okay, well, the first name is Nick Bosa. This is something we saw come in with him leaving halfway through the season at Ohio State. There was some worry about, you know, whether Ohio State was going to rush him back and maybe hurt his chances of being healthy for, you know, basically the rookie offseason, you know, his draft offseason, which is crucial to his draft status. I think he walks away, he gets healthy, and he could be a top five, even number one pick.
I think the way it looks right now, I would say he's the favorite as the number one overall pick. If everything checks out well, if he returns back healthy, if he's training, if he goes to the scouting combine and the pro day and he performs at both of those events, right now I just look at it, he's got to be the favorite out there because obviously it depends who's going to have the number one overall pick because Justin Herbert is in the conversation as every year. I mean, a quarterback is in the conversation for a number one overall pick. But I would say Nick Bosa right now is the clear-cut favorite for the number one pick as we sit here right now in the beginning of December.
Yeah, so the next name, A.J. Brown, a guy whose stock has fallen a little bit, but, a guy that a lot of people think is going to be a first-rounder. This isn't shaping up to be a heavy first-round wide receiver class. My question about him is being a slot guy, he's big enough to play on the outside, but, do you draft a slot guy really – anywhere near top 10?
Slot guys have become a really favorite in the NFL. I mean, most teams are in the three wide receiver sets, Ed. So, I mean, slot receivers are as valuable as ever in the NFL. So, look, I think we'll get to find out if A.J. Brown can line up outside. I think he's gonna try to show everyone that he can do that. I think that to be honest with you, I see a pick somewhere in the 20s, but I don't see a top 10 go-to number one wide receiver at the next level. Even if he proves to be an outside wide receiver, I don't see him becoming the next A.J. Green or Julio Jones. It's not going to happen. I mean, he's a talented slot guy with good size and some ability after the catch, but he's got to prove to be a better route runner. He does have some dropsies out there. And like I said, there's no way in my mind that A.J. Brown is a top 10 pick in this draft. And a lot of it will depend on how fast he runs. And that remains a question mark right now because I've seen him all over the board. So, I think speed is going to decide this, but I still say that he goes somewhere in the 20s.
Okay. Another name that I'm not surprised about at all, Brian Burns, a guy who could probably go in the top half of the first round, a guy who's coming from a Florida State program that, just really isn't really going anywhere. You could make a good argument for firing Willie Taggart. So where do you stand on Burns?
Well, Burns to me is a 3-4 outside linebacker. I just think he's too light to play defensive end in a 4-3. Look, he's 6'4". He's listed at 6'5", but he's closer to 6'4", 230, 235 pounds. He's a 3-4 outside linebacker that needs to get bigger. And, he's struggled a little bit in the second half of this season. I mean, with the Seminoles, like you mentioned, I mean, the Seminoles didn't have a great season, but he also struggled in the second half of this season. I see a late first round pick with Brian Burns, but I don't see a top 10, top 15 guy.
Okay. We'll move on to Noah Fant. He's coming out. Iowa guy who's shown a little bit as an inline blocker, a guy who could be probably one of the best receiving tight ends. Well, probably the best receiving tight end in this draft. Guy from Iowa.
I've said this before. He's a first round pick. He's been all over the board. He doesn't have elite size, but he's got good athleticism. He's got good speed. You mentioned that he's a pass catching tight end. He's a first round pick, and I think that's where he deserves to go. But I've seen him also go in the second and third round, people projecting him there. I still have a late first round grade on Noah Fant.
Well, he's definitely a complete tight end. It's just a matter of, you know, do teams really want to draft a tight end in the first round? You know, this is probably one of the more talented tight ends that have come out in the last couple of years. So, excluding the 2017 year. So that was a really good year for tight ends. But another name. We could talk about Rashawn Gary. Do you want to go over that?
Let's do that. Let's do that because a lot of people feel that he's a top 10, top 15 pick. You're just not one of those people.
Yeah, that's definitely me.
So where are you at on him? Do you see a day two grade?
Yeah, I don't see the production on tape, and I mean I understand potential, but right. You know I think. You get your first round guys. You get guys who can start right away and can produce for you right away. I just don't see Rashawn Gary as a guy who can produce for you day one. And so that's why I think you take him in day two. And maybe he could turn out to be a very good day two pick, but that's where I stand.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair enough. Fair enough. But remember, Ed, even Robert Kimdichie went at the end of the first round. And he didn't have production in college that certainly didn't match up with his physical talent. And he also had off-the-field baggage. And the Arizona Cardinals still chose him at the end of the first round. It was certainly a bad pick. But I'm just saying that if Kimdichie goes at the end of the first round with the off-the-field baggage, Rashawn Gary doesn't have that. He's definitely going to test well. You know this. I mean, he's going to test extremely well at the scouting combine. And once he does that, that's going to propel him into top 15 conversation.
I mean, I'll go into my philosophy about workout warriors as we go on in the show, or not in the show, but as we go out on the draft season. But,
no, No, it's absolutely true. You got to look at the film. I mean, that's the most important thing. But scouts get drawn to those physical tools that they feel haven't fully come out at Michigan. And they're just going to project him. I mean, it's a projection. And fair enough. I mean, you make some really valid points. I'm just and I actually agree with them. But what I'm saying is eventually, I mean, Gary is still going to be a top 15 pick. All right, who's the next guy?
Your boy, Kelvin Harmon. This is going to put you in a better mood. a guy I like too, probably not as high as you, but you know, a guy who could be a very solid possession receiver, a guy who can, you know, get a lot of catches. You know, what you love about him is his route running. Well, I shouldn't project what you say, but
no, go ahead.
I would say his trait that really puts him in the first round is his route running. He's one of the most polished route runners I've seen in a while.
I like his physicality. I like his size. I like his strength. He's certainly not going to run away from people, but it's tough to bring him down. I mean, one defender cannot bring him down. He's a physical receiver, and that's what I like about him. Because he's so physical, I think he projects as a really good red zone target. And I like his leaping ability, Ed. I want to, again, speed, hand size, and I question his ability to gain separation consistently, even though he's a good route runner, but you know, he's still a bigger guy. He doesn't have that 4.4 speed. He's not going to run that. So those are some question marks about him. But I do think another guy that in a wide receiver class lacking in talent, Harmon should definitely go higher than A.J. Brown. Should definitely go higher than A.J. Brown. All right, next guy.
Well, Ed Oliver, this is a guy that I think I like more than you. I think he should be the number one pick in the draft. I haven't seen tape like his ever. you know, Aaron Donald, I think that's the comparison. This guy has a relentless motor. You know, he can pass rush. He's just always around the ball. You know, is violent. He's got a violent hand usage. I can't see. I mean, it would be stupid for him to come back for another year. I mean, I think he should be picked number one, and the reason he won't be picked number one is because of his position.
No, it's not because of his position. It's because of his size. And, you know, Aaron Donald was drafted outside of the top 10, and Ed Oliver, I believe, will get drafted outside of the top 10. It's not the fact that I don't like him. It's just the reality of it. I mean, should he be a top five pick in this draft? Yes. Is he going to be a top five pick in this draft? No. And a lot of it has to do with his size, because a lot of teams are going to feel that he's undersized. And they doubted Aaron Donald when he was coming out of college. It's crazy, based on everything that he showed throughout his career. I'm talking about Donald. The last couple of years and how he dominated at the Senior Bowl. I mean, really dominated at the Senior Bowl. Top guys. And people realized that. They loved it. And they still drafted him outside of the top 10. So it's just the reality, Ed. And Ed Oliver is going to go outside of the top 10. It's not because I don't like him. It's just, you know, we're talking about the actual projection. And I think somebody like the Cleveland Browns might get a steal, because they're looking for that D tackle, that three technique that can help Myles Garrett from the inside, push the pocket. I think Ed Oliver would be a great fit with the Cleveland Browns.
All right, so we'll go down Jarrett Stidham, and then the last one is Greedy Williams. So let's talk about Stidham first.
Yeah, he's had a bad year. I mean, Auburn hasn't been great this year, but Jarrett Stidham is a player that I believe deserves to be a day three pick. Look, maybe I'm being too harsh, but there's no way I see a first round pick. There's no way I see a day two pick. He struggles with his decision making, his accuracy. I think he's got to improve his pocket presence. I think he bails out of the pocket too quickly because of his running ability. Look, he's got a really strong arm. I get it. He's got good length. But look, just because you have great arm strength, like Locke from Missouri, doesn't mean you should get drafted in the first round. Auburn has had a bad year, and Jarrett Stidham should have come back for another season to improve his draft stock. Because even in my opinion, in an average quarterback class, there's no way Stidham should be drafted in the first round.
I mean, I'm just going to say I think he's a much better college quarterback than he will be an NFL quarterback. I think he relies too much on the run. I don't think his tape is good enough to be, you know, anywhere near anything before the fourth round. I don't buy the hype. I think that we should just leave it at that.
All right, last guy.
Greedy Williams.
Look, he's definitely a top 10, top 15 pick. Deserves to be talked about as the number one corner on the board. You and I talked about it. Like, didn't have a very good game against Alabama this year, and actually got torched by them as a freshman as well. But, you know, every prospect has, you know, a bad game or so-called. But I don't see any other cornerback except for DeAndre Baker from Georgia taking over the top spot as the number one cornerback. But Greedy Williams has a lot of things going for him. The ball skills, you know, the length, very good speed. He's a good athlete. I think he's a top 10, top 15 pick.
Yeah, I just think he's a more complete corner than DeAndre Baker. I mean, I think they're both very good cover corners, but, you know, you could ask Greedy Williams to drop into a zone, whereas I don't think you can do that with DeAndre Baker at this point.
All right, let's move on to our favorite segment of the show. We talked about the underclassmen. Let's get into what we do best. Talk about players, scouting breakdowns. Let's start with, I would say, your boy, and he is your boy. I mean, running back Damian Harris from Alabama. And I was actually surprised, Ed. I was surprised that you didn't have him as a top five running back when you released your rankings.
Yeah, you know, I just look at this running back class and I see a lot of average runners, you know, guys who I don't see a top runner in this draft. I see a lot of guys you can put behind a good offensive line and will be a product of a good offensive line, or, you know, won't do well based on a bad offensive line.
So let's figure this out before we start the conversation about Damian Harris. I'm trying to figure this out from your standpoint. Is Damian Harris an average running back running behind a really good offensive line in Alabama? Or do you think he can become a very good running back, you know, picking up those yards on his own?
I think he's a good running back who has some intangibles and, you know, obviously has his weaknesses, but, you know, I mean, putting him sixth, I mean, you could really, it wasn't very, I don't see a lot of stratification between my number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, your running backs. So, but I mean, he's a guy I would draft, you know, on a day two pick, and he could very well be a starter. And that's what they're doing with day two picks, is they're sometimes making them the starting running back.
They are. I mean, Kareem Hunt was drafted in the third round, was a terrific running back for a couple of years before he was cut unexpectedly. Look, absolutely. But I'm just saying, is Damian Harris a third round type of pick?
Yeah, I think so. You know, let's get into the details. I mean,
let's do it.
You know, he's a guy who can catch out of the backfield. He lined up in the slot. He has good speed. We recognize that he benefited from a good offensive line, but I still saw him make tacklers miss. As far as a blocker himself, he's terrible. He'll need to improve in that area. I mean,
he's not terrible. He's inconsistent. He's inconsistent, I would say, because there are times that you see him use proper hand placement, but a lot of the times he throws that shoulder in the way. I wouldn't say he's terrible. I think he's a lot better than most of the other running backs in this class. You know, they actually have him on third down. He's always blocking. He's the most trusted out of all the Alabama running backs out there, and it's not because he's a senior. I think he's got a lot of potential. Sometimes, like I said, he needs to sustain those blocks and use proper hand placement instead of throwing that shoulder in the way like he likes to do. But I wouldn't say he's terrible, Ed. I mean, you're selling him short here, man. Selling him short a little bit. All right, continue.
I kind of see a one-cut runner. I think that's his running style. I see a guy with decent vision. I see a guy who hits the hole hard. I see a guy who very much runs straight lines. I see a guy who is I don't think he's as elusive as he is for a guy who's kind of he's a little bit more the speed back as opposed to the power back. And I just don't see him as being as elusive as you know, you would like for instance, Bryce Love, I think, is more elusive, and they're about the same size.
I mean, I wouldn't call – here's my critique a little bit. I wouldn't call Damian Harris a fast back.
Yeah.
I wouldn't because, I mean, he is not a guy that's going to make people miss consistently. He does it, but he doesn't do it consistently. It's not like he makes the first guy miss all the time. You know, there's certain running backs that you turn on the film and you're like, geez, this guy always makes first defender miss. Always. It doesn't matter whether it's a huge hole, whether he's in the open field, or whether he has to, you know, make the defender miss himself. He's not that type of guy. But what I do like about him is he bounces off arm tackles consistently. So I would call him more of a power back, Ed, because he consistently grinds out those tough yards. third and one, fourth and one. He's always in there. They give him the ball. His feet are always moving. He keeps his pad level down. He runs with really low, a good low center of gravity. And that's the reason why he's able to bounce off those arm tackles out there. So I think his change of direction skills are very average. Like you mentioned, I mean, he's not very elusive. He's not going to, but he's a good inside the tackles running back. I think he's one of the better inside runners in this class. And I think, you know, you said it. I mean, he has good vision. He can pick out those holes. At times, obviously, he's got huge holes to run through. And I think I can even run through those holes that sometimes the Alabama offensive line opens up for. I see a guy. Look, I asked myself this question with Damon Harris. Like, what is his ceiling? And you know what his ceiling is? It's like a Mark Ingram, another Alabama running back. But Mark Ingram was drafted at the end of the first round. And he's carved out a nice career for himself. He's not a flash guy, but he's a guy that they use in the red zone. They use on those obvious running downs, and he can do that. Or, you know, he could be out of the league in like 2 or 3 years. So I say his ceiling is Mark Ingram, and I think I agree with your assessment. I think he deserves to go somewhere in the third round. I think he's pretty good running back, but I just don't see a guy that's going to carry the ball consistently 25, 30 times a game. He's not that type of guy. He's more of a short yardage back, inside runner. You can use him in the red zone. He'll get some touchdowns around goal line. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. But I think what he has shown at Alabama, and they obviously they like to use different multiple running backs. I think that's who he is. He's not a lead back. And I don't think he'll ever be the guy for a team. I don't think he'll ever be the starting guy.
Yeah, I do think he will do well sort of in the interview process. And I think when teams bring him in, I think they're going to like him. I think, you know, he can really sell himself on the fact that, you know, he was kind of the veteran on an Alabama team. There's a lot of, you know, talent in that room. You know, he has to kind of be the alpha male among, you know, a lot of alpha males. So I give him that credit.
No, he's absolutely going to be one of the favorite prospects at the Senior Bowl. But my biggest problem with him is that he lacks acceleration. When he hits that hole, you expect the running back to take it up a notch, take it another level, on another level. Like, all elite running backs have that extra gear. Damian Harris doesn't have that. He hits that hole and he stays at that speed. He doesn't have that extra burst. He's not a home run hitter. But he's a hard-nosed guy, runs with good pad level. He always falls forward. And, you know, he can make some people miss, and he definitely bounces off tacklers. So I think third round is definitely in his future. I just think that he's going to be, you know, a guy that's going to get the ball maybe 10, 15 times a game, but he's never going to be the lead back. So, like I'm saying, I'm not as critical about Damian Harris as I was in the past, but he's not one of my favorite prospects at the position, and I don't think he's going to become one. And I can't put him in that category. But, you know, he's an all right guy. But I think you're right. At the Senior Bowl, from an offensive perspective, he's going to be one of the favorite guys. And Ed, you and I, we have to interview him at the Senior Bowl. Definitely have to get him. It's going to be a tough. Tough sell, because Alabama guys get a lot of press in Mobile, Alabama, and a lot of people are going to want to interview him. So, yeah, we have to get him, Ed. We have to get him. All right, Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle from Clemson. Many people believe that he's the number one senior defensive tackle on the board.
Yeah, I liked him better than sort of his defensive tackle counterpart,
Dexter Lawrence.
Dexter Lawrence. I just see a little bit more of an athlete from him. I think he has some power in the run game. I think he holds the point of attack. I think he can flash in pass rush. I think he has a good motor. I think he's decently athletic, runs to the football, good tackler, run defender, was winning matchups. I like that he gets his hands up to tip the pass. I think he drew double teams in the passing game, especially on that Clemson defensive line, for him to be drawing double teams. I hold that very dear, considering you got Cleveland Farrell and Austin Bryan and so forth. So, he's competent running stunts. He was asked to drop into coverage. He did that a little bit. I guess a weakness is I see a little top heaviness in his technique, but also at times also plays with good leverage. I guess what I like about him is that he can both be a good pass rusher and he could be a good run defender.
You think he's a good run defender?
I do. Yeah, I think he fills the gaps. I think he plugs the holes. I think he's a pretty competent run defender.
I think he's a good tackler. He's got experience playing on the edge. I think he plays hard. He's physical. He has some flexibility. I like his hand usage. I think he's got a good first step, but it's certainly not elite. I think his get off is really inconsistent. I think he needs to control his pad level better. He needs to play a little lower. And I think his hand placement against blockers needs to be more consistent. Let's say that. And to be honest with you, I don't think that he's a good run defender. I think he's average as a run defender, in my opinion, because he needs to control those gaps and maintain them. I don't think he does a great job at that.
Okay. I mean, agree to disagree. I think I kind of walked away saying this guy is, a top 15 pick, and I think Christian Wilkins is a first round pick, and I think Dexter Lawrence is a second round pick. Whereas a lot of people think Dexter Lawrence is a first round pick and Christian Wilkins is a second round pick.
Like I said, I mean, Christian Wilkins was a big time recruit coming out of high school. He had a 5-star rating, and he definitely deserves the hype that he's been getting. I actually thought that he was going to enter the draft. I was really last year. I was really surprised that he didn't come out because he would have been a day two pick last year.
Yeah,
and I thought that was.
I did.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, I was going to say I did a write up on him, thinking that he was going to come out last year too.
It just made too much sense for me, and he decided to come back. Maybe it's for the championship. Maybe he thought that Clemson was going to win it this year, and they obviously have a really talented offensive line, a defensive line, I mean, and they've dominated some games. But you always ask yourself the question when a guy like Christian Wilkins or any other defensive lineman on that at Clemson right now. You always ask yourself the question. I mean, they're all talented. They all make each other better. But how good are they individually? Do you think Christian Wilkins is the best defensive lineman out of all the four guys, or you still think it's Cleveland Farrell?
No, I'm really high on Cleveland Farrell. I just think he's a guy who can win in the NFL. I think he's a guy who's going to fight and he's going to have an arsenal of pass rush moves, and so. I would take him as high as top five.
I got you. And I mean, that's fair. Look, I say Wilkins is a first round pick, even in the top heavy defensive tackle class. It really is top heavy. But I think he deserves to go somewhere in the latter part, like in the 20s. And he needs to have a good Senior Bowl. And I hope he does show up, by the way, because I mean, I've heard a lot of guys are dropping out of the Senior Bowl.
So my area that I kind of put him in is I put him after Raekwon Davis, but before Derrick Brown. I mean, what do you think about that?
No, I think Derrick Brown and Raekwon Davis are going to go higher than Christian Wilkins because both guys have more potential than Wilkins and more upside. And I think that's probably going to be the most intriguing part about those two. And that's the reason why I think Christian Wilkins is going to go lower. And plus, like you said, you mentioned Ed Oliver out there in the conversation. I do think he's a better prospect than Dexter Lawrence. I mean, you and I argued whether Dexter Lawrence deserves to go in the first round. I said yes. I say he deserves to go at the end of the first round. I still feel that way. But I think Lawrence has more upside. Wilkins is a more polished guy based on what he's done in college.
I'd agree with that.
On his production. So it's just, that's what the NFL scouts and teams have to figure out. You think Lawrence is going to take that next step forward in the NFL? Will he ever get there? And it is a question mark. But Wilkins is as good as he'll ever be. I don't see much upside with him, and that's the reason why I think he's going to go a little bit lower. But
you know, the thing that turned me off to Dexter Lawrence was they asked him about losing weight, which I think is actually kind of one of his bigger problems in becoming the athlete that he could be. And he kind of sounded like – he sort of answered it like, it just seemed unattainable for him.
But he's had that issue since his high school days. Ever since he came in to college as a freshman, he's battled weight issues a little bit since then. And I mean, he's been up and down. So you question that with these type of prospects, you always question that whether they have the motivation to lose the weight in order to become more effective players. And I think that's going to be the question mark with Lawrence that you're going to hear leading up to the NFL draft. But, you know, we tried to focus on Christian Wilkins. The conversation led to Dexter Lawrence a little bit. But I think we gave the full lowdown on Christian Wilkins and how Ed and I feel about him. And we'll see more of him at the Senior Bowl, because this guy could rise at the Senior Bowl and showcase his talents there. I just hope he's going to show up, because so many Senior Bowl prospects every year over the past 3-4 years decide to skip the event. And to me, you know, what's there to lose? Go to the Senior Bowl, compete against the best. And I think that's what Christian Wilkins needs to do. All right, let's move on to the NFL, Ed. Mention Kareem Hunt really quickly. Obviously had a great short, brief career, and I'm sure he's going to get picked up by somebody. He's just too talented not to get picked up by anybody. Had an incident. TMZ reported it. The Chiefs felt like they were lied by Kareem Hunt. He admitted that much, that they deserved to cut him based on how he handled the situation. Where do the Chiefs go from here? Obviously, they're going to suffer quite a bit not having Kareem Hunt in the backfield to help Patrick Mahomes. And where does Kareem Hunt go from here? Does he get picked up somewhere by someone in the offseason?
You know, here's the difference between Kareem Hunt and Ray Rice and, Reuben Foster, is that Ray Rice and Kareem Hunt both got caught on camera, whereas Reuben Foster didn't. And I mean, you know, I'm not going to belabor the problems that Reuben Foster has, but I will say, once it's kind of on camera, it becomes a PR nightmare for the teams. And I think Kansas City did the right – I mean, either way, Kansas City did the right thing by dropping him. You know, they're showing a standard for how their players conduct themselves. Of course, this is the – you know, Ray Rice kind of never came back in the league because he really was on his last legs. Kareem Hunt isn't on his last legs. So I think that's what gives him a second chance.
No, he's definitely going to get a second chance, because look what he did last year as a rookie. I mean, what did he do? I mean, he dominated, and he came in. Nobody expected that. I mean, he was a third round pick. if he was going to put up those numbers, he would have been drafted at the end of the first round. So, and look what he did this year with Patrick Mahomes once again. So he's just too talented. Obviously, the difference between him and Ray Rice is that he's younger and people still want him. And I'm sure once this is a little bit behind him, I'm sure some team is gonna pick him up. So I wish him luck, and hopefully he gets it done. But don't get me started on Reuben Foster. I mean, honestly, he got picked up by the Washington Redskins. He played for my 49ers. He's a PR nightmare. I mean, this guy's never going to get it. A talented linebacker, but I don't think he gets it. Kareem Hunt actually gets it. You know, it showed in the interviews once he was released. I mean, he did the interview with some major networks out there, and it seemed to me that he understood the depth of the situation, and he realizes that he lost almost everything. He's close, maybe, of getting kicked out of the league, so he wants that second chance, and I think he's going to get it corrected. I don't think Reuben Foster is going to get anything corrected in his life with all the incidents that he's had. Packers, they decided not to wait until season ended. They lost, the Packers lost to, who was it? The Arizona Cardinals? And
Josh Rosen.
and they fired Mike McCarthy. Obviously, this has been building a little bit. We've heard whispers about it throughout this season. Aaron Rodgers came back and the Packers weren't winning. But where do the Packers go from here? They moved on from Mike McCarthy. Joe Philbin is the interim head coach. Who do you think is going to get a shot at the full-time gig here?
You know, I like throwing the name John Harbaugh out there. I mean, I don't think he should be fired from the Ravens, but I do think he should get another shot. A name that I like is John DeFilippo. I think he's done a nice job as the offensive coordinator for the Vikings. He's the guy who knows the division. So I think that's a strong name. The third name I would put would be Matt LaFleur. He's the Titans offensive coordinator. Downside to him is that Mariota is very average QB. I think the question is what can he do with a guy like Aaron Rodgers? And that's the big question.
Yeah, you got to bring in somebody that Aaron Rodgers will listen to and respect, because obviously Rodgers has accomplished a lot throughout his career. It's a tough sell. I mean, they gave Mike McCarthy an extension at the end of last season, and now they get rid of him. Do I think that the Packers will be able to find somebody that will take Aaron Rodgers to the Super Bowl? No, I don't think so. And it's a tough sell. I mean, you threw out those names. I listened to them, Ed, and I'm thinking, geez, you fire Mike McCarthy so you can hire John DeFilippo and Matt LaFleur? It's a tough sell to any Packers fans out there. It's a tough sell even to the organization. I mean, obviously you're looking for a young offensive coordinator with the good mind, somebody that can get creative and get the most out of Aaron Rodgers. But isn't that what Mike McCarthy was? I mean, a guy who's accomplished a lot, even won a Super Bowl. I don't know. I mean, you got to get a bigger name in there to kind of back up this firing.
Yeah, and I mean, it was really Aaron Rodgers who led to Mike McCarthy's firing. And the big winner in this is Cleveland and the Jets. I think those are the two places that he could go.
So where do you think he's going to wind up? And where is the better job, the Jets or the Browns?
You know,
I know which one I would take right now. I would take the Browns job. I mean, if I was Mike McCarthy, and here's the reason why.
Can we friendly debate about this after? I mean, on the show here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, why don't you go with why you think Cleveland? Because I think the Jets.
I think Cleveland is a better job because they have a competent GM. Because I think John Dorsey knows what he's doing. And he proved that with this draft right now. Early on, he's getting the returns with Mayfield, with Chubb. They have some players there on the roster. They have a good defense. They have the building blocks there with Ward and Myles Garrett. And I think John Dorsey will continue to build that roster in next year's draft. And I don't think the Jets have a competent GM. I don't know if he'll keep the job or not. But right now, I mean, he only has Sam Darnold. And they've got a long way to go to build that roster. It's not only a quarterback. And I've said this to you a few shows before. I mean, you can't fault Darnold for throwing 14 picks this year because he doesn't have any wide receivers. He's got an average offensive line. They don't have much of a running game. And they got to get more talent on the roster. So in my opinion, the Browns' job is more enticing and to me because, like I said, they have the players and they're going places. The Jets are stuck right now in neutral.
Well, I do agree that the Jets, I mean, and the Jets didn't really draft a lot of guys in quantity, but the fact that they have Sam Darnold, now they have, I think, still a potentially good franchise quarterback.
They do.
And, you know, I think if McCarthy comes in there and he can do what he did with Aaron Rodgers, I mean, obviously he's learned some things from Aaron Rodgers. You know, it's going to be easier for him because Sam Darnold is young. You know, he's a little humbler and he's a little bit more looking to prove himself. So I you know, the Jets have been bad for a while, and you know, it'd be nice to see him, but I also really just like the idea of McCarthy and Sam Darnold.
You see a good fit there, and I agree with you. Like they have to get some more talent around them with the Jets for Sam Darnold and McCarthy, if he gets the job, for them to be successful. The Jets have to do a better job drafting, especially on the offensive side of the ball, because their defense looks good and they've played well in spurts this year. They got to get some more talent on the offensive side of the ball, because if they don't, Sam Darnold is not going to prove us right. And he won't.
So,
I
was just going to say the other two places I could see are the Redskins and Tampa Bay.
Redskins and Tampa Bay.
Well, Tampa Bay, because he can turn Jameis Winston around, and the Redskins, because they just like, you know, Dan Snyder just likes to make a splash, and McCarthy would be a splash.
He definitely would be, but I like it. I like the Bucs thing because Dirk Cutter is not going to keep the job. I like the Bucs. That's actually a pretty good one because they do have the weapons of wide receiver. And Jameis Winston, hey, I don't think any head coach out there will not accept that job because Winston is a talented quarterback that you can get him going. I mean, we're seeing what he's been doing the past couple of weeks, right, Ed? I mean, he has been consistent. He's been making good decisions, and the Bucs have won two straight games. So, I mean, there's some things to work on. So I like the Bucs job. So if he doesn't get the job with the Jets or the Browns, hey, Tampa Bay, Mike McCarthy might be coming your way. All right, this was Blitzcast number 38. I hope you enjoyed the show. Your host, Alex Kavtoff, and my co-host and partner, Ed Hunt. We'll come back next week and talk about some more things. Thanks for listening. Take care.